what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year. It is New Year's Eve in our world, and you are listening to Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, New Year's is always an exciting time. As I mentioned yesterday, when you start a new year, it's the time that you think about setting goals and what differences, what changes you can make. Things that you can do differently, changes you can make in your life to make the new year a great year. I'm always reminded of what Samuel, the prophet, told the people in 1 Samuel chapter 12. You know, they had sinned so greatly by asking for themselves a king because they rejected the Lord. The Lord was their king. And they said, no, we want a human king like all the other nations. And so Samuel said, what you did was evil. And the people said, hey, pray for your servants to the Lord your God so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. And Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver because they are futile. And then he goes on to say, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. And I love that about a new year. You can look at it and say, okay, the year that's passing, I did some things that were wrong. I made some bad decisions. I made some selfish, evil, sinful decisions. But I don't want to keep going that direction. I want to go a new direction in 2025. And I want my life to be honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And that's what we have in the new year. Now, to help me bring in and help us bring in the new year, it's a privilege to welcome back to the program my good friend, the Bishop E.W. Jackson, author, speaker, Marine Corps veteran, and president and founder of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. And so, Bishop, welcome to the program.
Pastor Jeff, Happy New Year, and great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you, my friend. I think about you often, and you sent me the sweetest, most encouraging note right before Christmas, and I just want you to know how much I appreciated that.
Well, praise God, Jeff. I appreciate you, and I thank you for all you do, man, not only here on AFR, but all you do for the body of Christ and for our country.
Thank you, my brother. Okay, so big news, Bishop, as we kind of look down at what has come to pass in the last few days, the passing of Jimmy Carter at 100 years of age, president in the 70s, and a kind of an enigma to me. I don't know what he is like to you in your mind, but he's a guy that seems to be without scandal. He seems to have had a genuine faith in Jesus, but yet he's a Democrat, and he supported abortion and all the the horrible sins of the Democratic platform. And how do you reconcile that? And what do you think of when you think of his life and presidency?
Well, you know, I'm so glad you asked me that, because I have to tell you, I've been a little frustrated. It's almost as if there's a beatification process going on now. And Jimmy Carter's being raised to sainthood. Now, of course, we're Christians. We don't ever dance on a person's death or rejoice that a person has passed away, because we pray for his family. There are people who knew him, loved him, and will miss him. And we understand that. And I take that very, very seriously. But on the other hand, this beatification, this elevating him to a kind of sainthood has really been bothering me, because you're right. There are a lot of indications that Jimmy Carter was very, very wrong about some big things, not just while he was president, but after he left the presidency. You didn't mention, for example, I mean, he seemed to have a lot of sympathy for Hamas, a terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. I had virtually no criticism of them and their commitment to the destruction of Israel, but was always quick to criticize Israel. And in fact, the Palestinian Authority, which was a little bit easier to deal with, he was very critical of them. It was kind of, just kind of weird the way he approached the problems of the Middle East and didn't seem to have any real commitment to Israel. And you're right. Any Christian, in my view, anybody who claims to be a Christian and does not take life seriously, that God is the author of life and that life begins at conception, but what weasels out of it, like I remember Ted Kennedy doing, well, I'm personally, Biden's kind right. of the same thing. I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I'm not going to try to impose my view on other people. That's like saying I'm personally opposed to murder, but I'm not going to tell other people that they can't commit murder. I mean, right. it just doesn't make any sense at all. So I just think we need to stop elevating people based upon mythology and ideology. I see Jimmy Carter, frankly, more as a Democrat than I do a Christian. Now, I hope he is with Jesus right now, and only the Lord knows. But in terms of how I identify him more as a Democrat than I do as a Christian.
Well, that's a good point. You know, Bishop, when we talk about different ones that are, you know, in the news and in the public eye, you think about Jesse Jackson, you know, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Those guys don't seem to be very reverential.
You know, look, the Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. And so, you know, we all take a position of humility toward determining whether people are saved or not when they proclaim that they are. But Jesus did say, by their fruit shall you know them. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me, and I know God, of course, is the one with the ultimate say, and I don't in any way dispute that. I don't see Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton as Christians. I see them as political people who simply use the idea of ministry as a platform to say things that they want to say. But I don't see anything biblical ever coming out of their mouths. I don't even hear them talking about salvation through Jesus Christ alone, ever. And when they use the Bible, they tend to twist it and pervert it in order to satisfy some leftist agenda item that they have that they want to check off. So, look, Jesus made clear that the wheat and the tares would grow up together. Mm-hmm. And when they asked him, how did the tares or the weeds get in with the wheat? He said, an enemy has done this. Yes. So it shouldn't surprise us that the enemy is planting people in the body of Christ or people claiming to be part of the body of Christ, not for the purpose of serving the body of Christ, but for the purpose of disserving it, ill-serving it, emasculating it, stopping it from achieving what God wants us to achieve by watering down and compromising what the Word of God really stands for, what it really tells us we ought to stand for. So, you know, again, God knows ultimately. Look, I'm sure, Jeff, we get to heaven, we're going to see some people there, and we're going to go, wow, would have never thought you would be here. And we're probably going to see some people, I'm probably going to miss some people who we would have thought, based upon everything that they said, would have been there, but they won't. I mean, Barack Obama, he's another one I put in that same category. You right. know, he claims to be a Christian. But again, where is the fruit when you consider a baby to be a punishment rather than a gift from God, which is what the Bible teaches?
That's exactly right. I heard Bishop years ago, my pastor said this. He said there are the three big wows when you get to heaven is you're going to be wowed by who's there, you're going to be wowed by who's not there, and you're going to be wowed that you're there.
Amen. Now, I'll say amen to that.
We can know that we're going there, but we can, I mean, I think we'd spend all eternity just saying, wow, Lord, you know, it's just, we just sing Amazing Grace day after day after day. because I don't deserve to be here. It's just by your grace.
Amen.
Well, Bishop, let me change gears on you a little bit, and let's talk about this this visa program, the H-1B visa program. I was doing a little research on it, created in 1990 by Congress and signed into law by President George H.W. Bush. The H-1B visa was created to allow U.S. companies to hire skilled foreign workers in specialty occupations when there was a shortage of skilled American workers. Now, I saw a clip from President Trump when he was running in 2016, where he said he didn't like the H-1B visa program, but he used it because it was there to for the taking for businessmen. But now he seems like, because Elon and Vivek are seem to like this, that he's coming on board with it, and people are saying, hey, this is not America first. This would be immigrants first. What's your take on the visa program?
Well, let me back up first, too, and say this. I may be one of the few people, and maybe you're another, but one of the few people in America on the conservative side who has actually raised some questions and doubts about the elevation of Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk to this position of prominence, as if they're going to solve all of our problems, they're going to reform the government. And, you know, you even had some people saying, is Elon Musk a shadow president? I think that was said more to just try to irritate Donald Trump.
Sure.
But I would say this, we are Christians, and while we know that God can use any body. He said he works all things according to the counsel of his will. I mean, he used Nebuchadnezzar, he used Artaxerxes, he used Cyrus. He used a number of people in the Bible who weren't his people, who weren't in covenant relationship with him to accomplish his will. But that's not his best. God wants to use his people to accomplish things. And I think when people don't share a biblical worldview, we can appreciate them for what they bring to the table.
Right.
But we ought to always approach it with some skepticism and with some questions. And so the questions are already starting to emerge with this H-1B visa issue, because they're all in for it. But to me, it is a boondoggle. We give about 1 million of these out a year. We're giving them out to people who have sometimes a tangential relationship with our technological needs. They're going to universities. They're going to colleges. They're going to scientific labs. And these are jobs that Americans ought to be filling. And if they're not filling them, it's not because Americans aren't smart enough. It's because we have an educational system that is busy trying to indoctrinate people ideologically instead of preparing our people to function in the modern world. And so I just think this is a bad, bad idea. Use very specifically, very narrowly, Jeff, for specific needs that we can identify, as opposed to this sort of broad sweeping open door to just bring people. And by the way, 50,000 of the people we bring in every year are Chinese nationals. I mean, there's something wrong with this picture. So this, to me, is just the first little crack we see in the attitude of Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy that should cause us to take a little step back and say, well, you know what? They may not be the panacea that everybody is claiming them to be.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. It's those guys are smart, and they've made a lot of money. And Elon Musk might be one of the smartest guys that's been born in the last several hundred years. But if you're not spiritually in tune with the Lord, you have brain power, but you don't have any spiritual discernment. And those are two very different things.
And Jeff, not only two very different things, but it's clear from Scripture which one is more important.
Right.
So spiritual wisdom, you can't even compare intellectual prowess to spiritual wisdom, because intellectual prowess will turn you into just the most dangerous fool on the planet, whereas wisdom can help you overcome any deficit of intellectual ability.
Yeah. Great point. And so for all our listeners out there, I mean, hey, I don't have the brain power of an Elon Musk, but I can know the Lord. And the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter 9, great passage of scripture, verses 23 and 24, let not the rich man boast of his riches. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who executes loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. And that brings us into the break. And just let me say a word that for 2025, the goal of your heart, the goal of my heart is should be to know the Lord better and to spend more time with Him, to get to know Him better through His Word, as we read His Word, as we come before Him with an open heart, with a soft heart, and say, Lord, teach me your ways. I want to walk in your ways, and I yield myself to you as a living sacrifice. The book of Romans tells us that. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here with Bishop E.W. Jackson. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson. We are right on the cusp of 2025. Tonight is a big night in our world as we celebrate around the world the new year coming. I want to you to remember 1 Samuel 12:24 as you look to the new year, as Samuel told the people, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. God is worthy, worthy, worthy. He's worthy of all our heart. He's worthy of all our worship. And we need to constantly serve Him in truth with a whole heart, and then remember and consider what great things He has done for us. And as we shine, as we share, we make a difference in this world. Well, Bishop, let me ask you this. Are we seeing, and I heard President Trump say this, President-elect Trump just recently, we need to get rid of wokeism. And as you look in your crystal ball into the Trump administration starting in 2025, what do you see the future of diversity, equity, and inclusion that has swept across our nation like a cancer? How do you see that playing out in his presidency?
Well, I'm seeing very hopeful signs, Jeff, very hopeful signs. I've always said I don't think the president of the United States can transform the culture, but he can certainly go a long way toward helping the process. And getting rid of DEI, for example, in the federal government, and taking the foot of the federal government off the neck of private businesses that are forced to adhere to this because of the regulations of the Biden administration, it will allow people to breathe again. You know, Jeff, I love this country, and we are the most diverse nation on earth already. And left to our own devices, we'll simply work together and play together and go to church together and do all those things. We don't need some social engineer behind the scenes trying to move us around like puppets on a string. And I just think that the American people ultimately are going to have to take the stand on this and say, look, we're not going to be governed by this identity politics nonsense. We're going to look at each other as individuals, and we're going to work together and love together and do the things that God has called us to do together. But we don't need the heavy hand of Big Brother telling us, I need 3 blacks over here, 2 Asians over here, 1 Native American over here, 5 whites over here. I need 3 men. I need 2. I mean, this stuff is just it is so ugly and divisive. So the Trump administration taking a stand on it, Pastor Jeff, really takes a giant step in the right direction. But it's ultimately going to be up to us to close the deal on this.
Well, and Bishop, when we think about our United States military, our armed forces, having DEI in the armed forces makes absolutely no sense. I mean, armed forces have really one job. I mean, it's kind of like being a defensive end. You get the quarterback. How do you see, what would you say about the state of our military right now?
Oh, my goodness. As you know, I live in a military town. The largest naval base in the world is in Norfolk, Virginia, and I don't live in Norfolk, but I live very close to it. And we have military people passing through our church all the time. and they hate this stuff. This stuff is sapping the morale of the military. I don't know whether Pete Hegseth will ultimately be confirmed. I believe he will, the Secretary of Defense. But he's right. The focus of the military needs to be efficiency, effectiveness, lethality, the ability to defend this nation and defend the liberty of the American people, rather than all of this other stuff, the gender nonsense and the operations. And these guys that I talk to, and women, they hate this stuff. They think it's just a distraction. And so closing every DEI office in the federal government, which includes the military, would be a blessing for everybody who serves. I mean, there are a lot of people who are restrained from joining. I mean, when the Navy is having a recruitment crisis, they put on a drag queen ad to say, hey, just join the Navy. You can be a drag queen. I mean, really? This is insane. I served in the Marine Corps, and I remember my drill instructors saying, and many others saying along the way, there's only one color in our Marine Corps, green, which was the color of our combat uniform. That was it.
Right. Well, okay, so when you were serving in the Marine Corps as an active duty Marine, did they ask questions about your sexual orientation?
Look, absolutely not. And nobody was interested and nobody cared. The only thing that mattered is, can you do the job that you have been assigned to do? If I'm in a foxhole with you, can I count on you? Are you getting the training that allows you to be prepared to do what needs to be done in a difficult, dangerous situation? That was all any of us cared about. Nobody was thinking about all this other stuff. I don't doubt that there were homosexuals who were in the military, but presumably they were there simply to serve, and that was not an issue for them or for us. But now, of course, that is the issue, it seems. And, you know, you got to fly we're flying the so-called gay pride flag at the Pentagon, and we're celebrating Pride Month. I mean, this stuff is just, it is so counter to military morale. And, you know, Jeff, I would add this. I believe that the whole world laughs at us when we do this stuff, particularly our enemies. I think they just laugh and say, these Americans, they don't have a clue what they're doing.
Yeah. For sure. Okay, how do you see the Trump administration affecting college campuses? They've just been overrun with wokeism. What do you see changes there?
Well, again, as everybody knows, I said best kept secret in America. I joke is I ran for president, and I said one of the things I think that the president of the United States ought to do is say to all the colleges and universities that are depending upon federal funds to say to them, look. If you're going to be an indoctrination camp, you're going to do that on your own dime. You are not going to use federal dollars for the purpose of bringing children, bringing young people in, bringing students in to indoctrinate them. If you have a one-sided campus, 99%, and this is the case in many of these campuses, of your people are leftists. And by the way, I went to one of those colleges, University of Massachusetts, and when I say leftist, I don't mean slightly liberal. I mean, these people are communists with a little C. They don't believe in free market economics. They don't believe in the American constitutional system. They love Cuba. They love China. They love the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union existed. And these are the people who are teaching our children. Remember Ward Churchill? I think he was out in Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken, who celebrated the killing of 3,000 people on 9/11 and said they deserved it because they were little Nazis. Those are the people. He ultimately got fired, thank God. But those are the people who are teaching our children. We had a guy fired in ODU who was coming on saying there's nothing wrong with sex between adults and children. He actually put that out publicly, and he was a professor at Old Dominion University. I mean, this is what, sadly, is filling these universities. Maybe people not quite as extreme as Ward Churchill and this other professor, but still way out on the left with almost no conservative professors to give any kind of balance or different perspective. Well, if you want to do that, fine. Do it on your own dime. Don't take taxpayer dollars to do it.
Bishop, with the re-election of Donald Trump and it seems like Barack Obama, who was kind of the puppet master for Joe Biden, and he would have been for Kamala Harris, I believe, and I think you and I are on the same page there. Has he effectively been gutted, or will we see a rise of Barack Obama in 2028?
Well, I think that, look, he really is the perfect icon for what the Democrat Party represents. I mean, I think that George Soros and some of these other billionaires who are behind the scenes pulling strings, seeing Barack Obama, I mean, he's black, check that box. He's kind of, now forgive me, folks, but let's put it this way. He's not masculine, check that box. and you know, he's sort of one of he's a Rorschach test. I mean, he said it when he was running the first time. People see in me whatever they want to see. And so he's kind of the perfect person to sort of be putting up as an icon. I think they're going to continue to try to use him. I think the real key is the crazier, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to say that. God bless his soul. I trust he's in heaven with Jesus too. But right. Rush Limbaugh used to say, you know, the Democrats and the liberals have to lie because if they told us the truth, nobody would vote for them.
Right.
So I just hope they keep telling the truth about what they really think and what they really believe, because I think that's going to cause the country to reject them wholesale. And that's really what we've got to do. We need a new party, a new opposition party that is center left, and that's fine, but not this extreme stuff that the Democrat Party has come to represent.
Do you think there's a political future for Kamala Harris?
I don't believe so. I don't, no matter how much they talk, I think, and again, this is not personal. I don't personally dislike the woman. I think Kamala Harris is a complete incompetent. I really do. I think that the woman is way over her skis, and that the real powers in the Democrat Party, they know that. They know that the woman has no real intellectual ability, and they know that she's somehow wiggled her way into these important positions and important roles. Remember, when she ran for president, she was the first one to drop out because nobody would support her.
Right.
So they propped her up and put her up. And of course, then thank God she loses the election. I don't see a future for her, even though, you know, Democrats are very good at taking care of their own. So I don't think she's going to be hurting for some kind of symbolic role somewhere. I mean, they took care of Anita Hill when she tried to torpedo Clarence Thomas's appointment to the Supreme Court. They took care of her very well. So I'm sure they'll take care of Kamala Harris, but I think she'll be mothballed in terms of having any real power and influence in the party.
Yeah. How about Hillary Clinton?
Well, Hillary Clinton is kind of the sore that just doesn't seem to want to go away. You know, I think Hillary Clinton is going to be around and is going to be trying to exercise influence for as long as she is on this earth. And I think there are going to be people who will listen to her because, again, she checks the boxes. She's a woman. I mean, she's a Saul Alinsky disciple.
Yes.
Doesn't get any closer to being a pure Marxist than that. So I think that she will be around and have some influence. But I think that the party is doing some serious soul searching now. I hope that soul searching is ideological and saying, you know, maybe it's not just the people. Maybe it's the ideas we are espousing that we need to stop and reconsider. And if they do that, they can survive. If they don't, I think they're on a downward spiral.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with you, Bishop, that if they actually told us what they believed in and what they wanted for America, nobody would vote for that. They want socialism. They want to reduce the population. They want control. I mean, all the things we don't want. And anybody with half a brain would say, well, I'm not going to vote for that. Who would want that?
And Pastor Jeff, they want the power to force it on you, whether you like it or not. I mean, these people are really totalitarian. They're always pointing the finger at Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Donald Trump believes in our Constitution and our way of life. These people really do not. They think they're smarter than the rest of us, and that we just don't know any better. And so they've got to impose on us what's good for us, for our own good, of course. And we'll thank them for it later. I mean, that's the attitude.
Right. Well, it brings us back to the point we said, just because you have a lot of smarts and education, Hillary Clinton is not an idiot. She has smarts. She has education. She's articulate. She doesn't just do word salad like Kamala Harris did. But if you're not connected it to the Lord. And if there is not wisdom coming from the Lord, you're just an educated fool. You know, Romans 1, professing to be wise, they became morons, they became fools. And so I see a lot of that in politics, especially on the left. And, you know, I mean, the right's not, that's not immune to that. If we get away from the Lord and his word, we're going to go in the wrong direction.
The word says, when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And the people mourn because the people are hurt and harmed by the wicked ruling. And, of course, we know the wicked, it's not a picture of Satan with two horns coming out of the top of his head. It's a picture of a person who thinks that they know best without regard to God and without regard to his word. And that's sadly what the Democrat Party and the left has become. I mean, I call them the coalition of the godless, because they really believe that they in every way know better than God. And so what that makes you is your own God, your own idol. And that there's only one place that leads to destruction for the person who believes that, lives that way, and for anybody who follows those people. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. And that's where they would lead us. And thank God the American people saw that so clearly in this past election. And I trust we'll see it clearly in future elections as well.
Amen. That's a good word. Well, we have just another minute before we go to a break. So, Bishop, real quick, what is on the horizon for you in 2025?
My prayer for you and for AFR and for American Family Association and for me is that God will give us the very best year we've ever experienced in our lives, with many more to come. And of course, I mean, first and foremost, on a spiritual level, I'm just looking to hear God more clearly. I'm looking to see God move in more dramatic ways in our country and in our lives.
Amen. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson, as we look forward to 2025. We're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we would love to hear from you. And Bishop, you're able to stay on during the questions?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. So if you have a question for Bishop E.W. Jackson, he would be more than happy to field that question, to answer that question that you might have. And so we do look forward to what the Lord is going to do in 2025. And we're going to follow the command of Scripture, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Happy New Year to you and yours from Real Truth for Today, from American Family Radio, American Family Association. And I'm here with Bishop E.W. Jackson. We've just been talking about things. We've been talking about Jimmy Carter and the Trump administration and the situation with the H-1B visa and bringing immigrants into the country to take the jobs of Americans that could do those jobs. And We need to have a program, I believe, that puts America first, and we need to think about, hey, you know, if we're not doing good by America, we're not doing well. You know, it's Bishop, it's kind of like a church. I told our church this years ago, you know, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. And if you're not making sure that your church is doing well locally, you're kind of missing the boat, because you need to build a good, solid, strong, Bible-believing church locally that can from there go out. And so I think you and I are on the same page about we want to do all we can to help America and to help Americans with good jobs and the like. So we're taking Amen. Your phone calls, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. And the bishop is here with me. So let's start with Ron from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning and welcome back, Bishop. It's been a while, huh?
Thank you, Ron. Great to be back.
Cool. Well, let's talk about Jimmy Carter first. I want to express my wretch. I mean, my utter foul taste in my mouth every time people want to glorify Jimmy Carter. They don't remember the years of the gas lines and the depression, the price of gold and silver spiking because the currency was getting destroyed, the oil prices, the lack of foreign policy, and the icing on the cake for me, even as a child, was the giving away of the Panama Canal, which was 40,000 American lives given in the duty of our country for the westward expansion of this nation. It wasn't to fulfill global trade so every you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry could hang their plastic crap on the walls of Walmart and get rich and go up, buy up all the real estate where I grew up in Southern California. Now I have to move because I'm looking on Zillow, and a place my dad paid $10,500 for on a one-acre lot now sells for over $2 million because of all the influx of Chinese immigrants. You know, and with this H-1B visa thing, I worked for a company that was Hong Kong based. I was hired to open this warehouse. OK, and it was just a scam. They brought in three multimillionaire Chinese immigrants from the Chinese Communist Party under H-1B visa, at least three that I know when I was there. And they would pay my CEO $500,000 to come over here, and they would just putter around the office smoking their Chinese cigarettes, talking about how bad our American cigarettes are, stuff like that. Guys like Elon Musk, they don't understand this. You hire a guy with a sheepskin, but they don't have the same culture. It's not the same as an American who has a heart for Jesus. It's going to operate in a Christian manner, in a rightful way. They well, destroy our country, and they cheat and lie and steal in business.
Well, okay, I can see Rod is at least as passionate about this as I am, maybe more so. But you know, it got me thinking. I'm sure much of the audience probably has heard of Dr. Rick Scarborough, a friend of mine. I'm sure you probably know him too. Yeah. But he and I joke about having gone out of our way to vote for Jimmy Carter. we did it because we thought, man, here's a Christian running for office. Praise God. God, I was so excited that I'm born again believer. And then all of that enthusiasm just kind of, they're like the blood just drained out, you know, when I saw what he really represented. So, yeah, I mean, he has not been good for the country. And that's why I've been frustrated. I try to respect when a person's passed away. I did this with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, you don't want to disrespect the person's family and just dump on them. But on the other hand, this treating him like he's some kind of saint who did all this great. Yeah, it's been more than I could handle.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, he really serves, regardless of where he is spiritually, he really serves as an illustration of just because you seem like you're a good guy doesn't mean that you're going to be a good president. Just because you're faithful to teach a Sunday school class doesn't mean you're a good leader. You know, Ronald Reagan was a strong leader and he got things done. Jimmy Carter was a weak leader. Regardless of where he fell spiritually, he was just a weak leader.
And they criticized Ronald Reagan for not going to church. Of course, he had an explanation for that because he said going to church is a real production for the president of the United States. But you're right. I mean, it's an easy choice. Ronald Reagan actually led the country to higher heights than Jimmy Carter could have ever dreamed. And so, you know, the other thing is the world looks at works and they think that works somehow are the measure of your spirituality. But we know that the Bible teaches that by grace are we saved. You quoted it earlier on, by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God so that no one can boast. So the fact that he did good works, good. I mean, I'm not knocking it that he built houses for Habitat Humanity, but that is not what gets you into heaven, and that's right. Not how God measures our effectiveness.
Yeah, exactly right. All right. Well, I appreciate the call. And we have Don on the line from Mississippi. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Good to hear your voice again. I wanted to comment on the Jimmy Carter thing that's going on and how we say that we are glorifying him. I think that when we look at him as a Christian man, and as the bishops say, he say he doesn't look at him as a Christian man, but he look at him just as a Democrat. And I think that that's a slap in the face of any man and his family if you only look at him from a political point of view. Yeah, the man did some bad things. He did not come up to our particular test, but he is a child of God, just as well as we are. I would never in my lifetime, Pastor Shreve, if you did something bad, I would never allow myself to come to a point to berate you or belittle you even after death. What he has done, he has done. That's been so many years ago, and we are still shooting him down, and that's fine. But to say that he was just a Democrat and not a believer, I think that's wrong and a slap to his family. So I mean no disrespect to you or your guests, but he was a brother in Christ. So
My question would be, you say that with such authority and so definitively, and my question would be, why? How do you, why are you so clear about that I'm wrong and you're right? Because I said, look, only God ultimately knows, but right. If you ask my opinion, that's my opinion. So what makes you so definitive about it?
No, I'm not trying to discuss your opinion. Your opinion, you're right.
No, but you
your
just gave one.
Your opinion.
You just gave one, so I'm asking about yours.
But as being a brother in Christ, I will lift him up as a brother in Christ. Now, his political life, that was his political life.
And yeah, Don, I guess the question would be, how do you know he's a brother in Christ? Just because he said he was?
By the way he lived. Well, the Bible declares that we would know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And he bared some very good fruit. He bared all the fruit that Christ had described in the New Testament.
Oh, really? So you think supporting the killing of unborn babies, he didn't take a stand against same-sex marriage. He basically fudged on that as well. You think not supporting Israel, you think all of these things are consistent with bearing fruit for Christ?
But if we base that just on that and not on the man's heart and what we see that he did, then we are at fault.
Well, see, you're talking in circles because you talked about fruit. I just gave you three major biblical instances and you ignore those. And I don't. So now I'm not sure what you're talking about the fruit. Are you talking about building houses? Because, I mean, you know, my goodness, all kinds of people go out and volunteer to do things like that. And that does that make them Christians? I mean, I appreciate your perspective on it. But, you know. Like I said, God ultimately knows, right?
He
knows ultimately. But if you ask my opinion, I say I see him more as a Democrat than a Christian.
Yeah. And Don, you know, we hope that Jimmy Carter had a personal relationship with Jesus. You know,
amen.
The things that I read about, you know, what he said, he seemed to not be heretical in his understanding of who Jesus was. He seems to have gotten saved. When you read, you know, the things that he said about his own faith. But, you know, his actions as president didn't seem to line up. And so that's the conundrum as it relates to Jimmy Carter. I think that's what the bishop and I are saying. You know, it's like he said one thing, but he did another. So it makes it difficult. And then you see his life. You know, one thing, Bishop, Jimmy Carter didn't seem to have any scandals associated with his life, right, unless I'm missing something.
You know, and by the way, let me be clear. I never said that Jimmy Carter is not a Christian, was not a
right.
Christian. I didn't
right.
say that. I just said the way I perceive him, he seemed to be more in line with the Democrat doctrines and ideology than with a biblical worldview. And we can say this. Jimmy Carter was not a biblical worldview Christian. He was
yes.
he would have classed himself among progressives.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And there you
he
go.
Definitely did that. He left the Southern Baptist Convention to become part of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which was the liberal group of the Southern Baptists. They jettisoned out in the 90s. And yeah, that's what makes me question too. But Donna, I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening to the program and bringing that point up. That was a good point. So we have Vicki on the line from Virginia. Vicki, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I just have a question for Bishop Jackson. I just lament every time I hear you that you were not our governor. I have a cold.
You,
I'm sorry.
That's
but,
okay.
And our president. But anyway, I have a question. Is it possible our military needs to hear people like Bishop Jackson? Is it possible that he could be on the military radio equivalent of Voice of America? Now that we have a new administration, might they be open to something like that? Because they need this. They need him. They need him to explain the Bible and the salvation of Jesus Christ.
Bishop?
Wow. Well, look, I think Tulsi Gabbard has been put in. No, it's not Tulsi. It's Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake, I think, has been given a charge of Voice of America. I don't know her personally, but hadn't even thought about that. So thank you, Vicki, for bringing that up. I mean, that's something I will explore. I certainly hope that it will be open to expressing a Christian viewpoint, because that's another thing. Christians have been discriminated against, and the left, they poo-poo that and say, oh, you know, Christians aren't being discriminated against. But actually, we are. We're often censored. We're often told that our speech is hate speech. But Christians need to be given a platform to express our point of view, since America is steeped in Christian culture.
Yeah, very good. Well, you have a big fan there, Bishop. That's pretty cool. Thank you, Vicki. Thank you for calling in. We have Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. It's wonderful to hear you and Bishop Jackson. I used to listen to his show every day and put several people. You are exactly right. The bishop is exactly right. You know, Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but they deny me with their deeds. And I heard Jimmy Carter one time say that the land of Israel occupied was not their land, that it belonged to the Palestinians. And I, you know, I just wonder, just like Bishop said, how could this man be in the Democrat Party and support all the things that Bishop said there, and then, you know, say that he was a true Christian? You know, he may be. I'm like Bishop. Only God knows. But you know, I just can't see why people. I seen one time after one of his sicknesses, where there was like 500 people a week coming just to hear him teach Sunday school. You know, I wouldn't have walked across the road to hear him teach Sunday school for some of the things that I heard him say. But he did do some good works, but Bishop's right. Good works, we're created for good works, but good works alone will not get you into heaven.
Yeah,
amen.
That's a good word.
Amen.
Bishop, anything to add there?
No, look, I think he pretty much said it all, and I don't want anybody to think that we're just kind of dumping on Jimmy Carter, but again, we as Christians are not supposed to focus on personality. We're supposed to be focused on biblical principle.
That's exactly right. Well, Scott in Indiana, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but I appreciate you listening to the program. Appreciate you calling in. Bishop, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being with me on
Thank
this
you for
New
having
Year's
me,
Eve.
Brother.
God bless you, my brother. May 2025 be a great year for you and your family. Well,
amen.
thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's always a joy for me to get to share with you. I look forward to being with you in the new year as we kick off 2025. Hey, serve the Lord in truth with all your heart and consider what great things the Lord has done for you. Shine for Christ and share those great things. Share about His grace. Share about His love. Share about His mercy toward you. And God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.